to hear from. So, Denny, come on up here and share with us.
So we get to talk about a tough topic today. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace that you have upon our lives. And, Father, that you have made us to be emotional beings. And we just ask, Father, this morning that you would open our eyes, that you'd give me the grace to say the words that I need to say, Father, that would help your people, Father, become everything that you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, have you ever stopped to think about what you believe about emotions? I know I didn't for a long, long time. And when I started, a whole new world began to open up to me. So, maybe you, in thinking about them, are frustrated, annoyed, agitated. Maybe you get a little scared sometimes about emotions. Stressed out, a little nervous. Maybe you tense up, a little panic. Sometimes maybe overwhelmed with your emotions. Maybe you become a little puzzled, foggy, addled, confused about what's going on inside of you. Maybe you just want them to go away. Want to avoid them, ignore them, maybe stuff them deep down inside of you. Let's take a little look about what Jesus and his emotions, because he expressed them. And I'm going to share 8 scriptures, but I could probably come up with at least 100. He was filled with compassion. Okay, this is when he healed the man with the withered arm in the synagogue. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And what this is related to is when the children came to him and the people said, "Oh no." And Jesus became very indignant. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That becomes a very key scripture for me. Because we all go through tough circumstances. We all go through emotional difficulties. We all struggle sometimes with what's going on inside of us. But if we position ourselves correctly, if we handle it correctly, there's a joy on the other side. There's a joy on the other side that we have never experienced until we get to that other side. And we have to be willing to go through however God leads us to get to that other side. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see," they replied. And Jesus wept. He was not afraid to cry. And I think many of us are afraid to cry. And we shouldn't be. We should be willing to express that deep sorrow that's inside of us. And we should be able to express it in the ways that the Spirit wants us to. Love each other as I have loved you. Love is a choice in our behavior, but it's also an emotion. At the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Have you ever felt forsaken? I know I have, many times. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Have you ever felt overwhelmed with your emotions? Do you realize Jesus, in expressing all of this, he knows every single one of your emotions. He knows exactly what you're going through, what it feels like. Do I need to go to the handhill? Yeah, we're not going to put up this.
Thank you, Lord. Am I good? Okay. Overwhelmed and sorrowed to the point of death. Ever felt like you're dying emotionally, or that your emotions were going to kill you? Take a look at David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. A lot of emotional questions, a lot of emotional pain there. But look at the last statement. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy and at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. This is David pouring out his troubled heart, the emotional pain that he is in, the distress. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away at the rest. And be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. You ever felt like you wanted to run away? Many times in my life, I've tried to say, God, I'm done with this. He will not let you alone. He will always chase you, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. We are emotional people, and the world tries to tell us to let your emotions lie. Don't mess with them. Don't deal with them. And it's the worst thing we can do, because he is emotional and he created us to be emotional. So the question is not the fact that I have emotions. It's not the fact that I have and have gone through probably every one of these things up here. The question becomes, what do I do with it? What do I do with these strong emotions that well up because of the circumstances of life, because of relationships that break, because church doesn't go the way I want it to go, okay? Because my job isn't what I want, because the people I'm in relationship with isn't working. So like it or not, we are emotional beings, and we experience everything first emotionally. In the first trimester of a baby in the womb, or excuse me, the third trimester of a baby in the womb, They begin emotional communication with mom and the outside world. All of the research points to the fact that if a mother during that trimester is under stress, the amniotic fluid will change its chemical composition and the baby will begin, because it is at that point in time more taste buds than you will ever have in your life. And as that amniotic fluid touches those taste buds, the child realizes something is going on in mom and in the outside world. And that happens no matter what the emotional state is of mom. Fear, change in the amniotic fluid. Love, change in the amniotic fluid. There begins to be that communication with mom and the outside world emotionally. Emotionally. And our brains are hardwired that way. When a child is born, they experience things first emotionally. They have no brain mechanism to interpret their world, and everything is done from an emotional point of view. And that's the way God created us. We were hardwired that way. And so whatever's going on in a child's life, they learn to handle emotions from the way, from the ones they are connected to. From parents, from relatives, sometimes from strangers. Okay? Our ability to handle our emotion begins with self-awareness. Now, what I'm talking about here, I'm now switching to an adult. Okay? Or at least a child or teenager, young adult, someone whose brain has begun to function, where they become aware of emotions. Everything is on board. They have the ability to begin to interpret emotions, begin to try and make sense of emotions. And it begins with self-awareness. So there has to be an awareness inside of me of what I am feeling emotionally. What is going on? Why did this emotion surface? Why did this emotion surface? And it happens sometimes instantaneously, that emotion. Sometimes we don't feel it until after the event that triggered it, and it's like you're doing something else, and all of a sudden it's, wow, I really felt angry, or I felt lonely, or I didn't feel loved in that circumstance. But I have to become aware of what my emotional state is. Because if I don't become aware of it, guess what? I'm going to continue to live the same way I've always lived, with this emotion that's going on, and I don't have any clue why I behave the way I behave. We don't do things just because we want to do them. There is always a reason, and many times it is tied to an emotion that we have that we aren't aware of. If I desire to be transformed to wholeness, should be if we desire to be transformed to wholeness, we will take the first step of asking the Holy Spirit, why am I experiencing this emotion? Because there's a reason you're experiencing it. It just didn't pop up to pop up. It's there for a reason. Why am I experiencing this emotion? Why do I have a dysfunctional behavior if I responded in a dysfunctional way out of that emotion? Why do I behave in a dysfunctional way when I experience this emotion? Okay. I grew up with a lot of anger. And it took me a long time to begin to delve into why was I an angry person. Okay? And it tied back to the way I was raised. Both of my parents were emotionally absent in my life. I had every physical need met. Many people said I was the best dressed person in school. Everything matched from head to toe. Perfectly. Why? That was my mother. But there was no emotional discussion of anything in our home. We did not talk about emotion. Didn't happen. And so I was left growing up to try and figure out all of this stuff that was going in. What's going on in here? And I didn't realize that until really, really late in my life. Actually about 38 years old. When God got a hold of me and started to work on this. Why do I behave the way I behave? Why do I behave in a dysfunctional way? Where is this emotion coming from that leads to this behavior? If we are to leave a positive emotional legacy, we must first understand our own emotions and responses and ask the Holy Spirit to bring an understanding and healing. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot transform ourselves. Something broken cannot fix something broken. You cannot do it. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And we have to be willing to allow that to work in our lives. As I said, I started that process when I was 38. Okay? There have been many times in that process where I wanted to quit. I said, Lord, this is not worth it. Lord, this is too painful. Lord, it was a lot easier before you showed me this. Ignorance was bliss, but not very helpful. But I chose to stay with it, and I'm still on the path. And I plan on being on that path until the day the Lord takes me home. But we can't do it ourselves. We live in relationships. We were created to live in community. Unfortunately, we are also wounded in relationships and wounded in community. And because we are wounded in relationships and community, we can only be healed in relationship and community by the work of the Holy Spirit. Isolation is never the answer. God and me cannot solve all of Denny's problems. God, me, and you. We were born to be in community. Problems happen in community. Spiritual growth happens in community. Spiritual growth happens in relationships. Many times, we go to isolation because we don't know where to go or don't know, we have nowhere to go or don't know where to go. We must find or create a place of safety and acceptance along with not being judged. You are all well aware that if you begin to share the deepest parts of you that need healing and somebody begins to judge, sorry, we're done. We cannot judge where we are. We cannot judge people because of their experiences in which they were raised, the events that happened or did not happen to them. We have to become a truly loving, accepting, supporting community to allow people to be who they are, allowing the Holy Spirit to grow them, allow the Holy Spirit to bring healing, allowing the Holy Spirit to move them to a place of maturity and growing. It has to happen or we kill people. If that doesn't happen, people stay in their cocoon. People stay in their cells, continuing to experience all of the difficulty, all of the pain, and never change, never be transformed. And the church bears a lot of responsibility for that. And I'm just not talking about Marian Christian Center. I'm talking about the church bears a lot of responsibility for not allowing people to be who they are in their dysfunction and help them stand beside them and walk beside them so that they can grow. I'm in a community now where that is allowed. I want to tell you, it is the most freeing place I have ever been. I have grown more in the last 2.5 years, I think, than I ever have in my life. It's a place of total, complete acceptance and non-judgmental people. And it's very, very freeing. It is only when we, including children, experience safety, when we are accepted and will not be judged, that we will share our deepest emotions, both negative and positive. Have you ever been around somebody and you're sharing a positive emotional experience and they kind of, no, I don't want to hear that. No, that really didn't happen. No. You're getting too emotional. I have. So in leaving an emotional legacy, we can either leave a weak emotional legacy or we can leave a strong emotional one. In leaving a weak emotional legacy, and we're talking about children, it will foster insecurity and a shallow emotional development. It will cause fearfulness and instability. I've experienced probably every one of these in my life because of the unemotional presence of my parents. It leads to mistrust. It leads to criticism. It leads to apathy. It undermines a healthy sense of personal worth. Oh, for the longest time, I didn't believe I was worth anything. And you would have never known it because I had a nice wall of protection so I wouldn't get any more damaged. It communicates that a person is not enough, that they don't measure up, and that they need to perform to have value. That last statement is the way the world operates. If I'm in the world system, I have to measure up. I have to perform. I have to be enough. And in the world system, I'm okay if I know I may not be at the top, but there's somebody below me. Stop and think about it. It's the way the world system works. The kingdom of God is 180 degrees upside down from that. You are enough. You are enough. Everyone in this room is enough. Everyone in this room does not need to perform to be loved, to have significance, to be understood, to be secure, and to have purpose. Those are all given to you because you're a child of God, not because you behave a certain way. Those things that I just listed have nothing to do with behavior. If you think you do, you're living in a world system where you're not enough, you don't measure up, and you need to perform. The other thing that is a reality is that if I think I'm not enough, that I have to measure up, that I have to perform, my real core belief is the sacrifice of Jesus wasn't enough. I'm telling you, the sacrifice was more than enough. It was more than enough to make you a child of God, that you are loved, understood, secure, significant, have purpose, and you don't need to do anything except receive it. It's free. Absolutely free. But you understand, I'm not saying behavior is not important. What we're talking about is who you are as a child of God. And that is only determined by the sacrifice of Jesus. Oh. We will get to the next one. Grace, go ahead and put the next one up. Pardon? I must need to say something. I don't know. Don't live that way. Wait for Grace to get up a strong emotional legacy. In leaving a strong emotional legacy, cool. It provides a safe environment for emotional development. If I want to leave a strong emotional legacy, I have to provide a safe environment for emotional development. I've got to create that. I've got to create non-judgmental acceptance. Okay? I've got to create those things. I've got to allow for them. I cannot impose my legalistic standard on you or my children or anyone else. Next one, Grace. You have to shut her down to do that. It fosters confidence and stability. Leaving an emotional legacy, a strong one, it promotes and fosters confidence and stability. A confidence I'm a child of God. A confidence in who I am as a person. A confidence that I'm okay. Stability is an ability to handle my emotional states that go on all the time in my mind. It leads to support and trust. I can create an environment where it's very trusting. And you want to know something? You only create trust when you don't judge. As soon as I start judging, guess what I've done? You're not going to trust me. You're not going to trust me with your life. You're not going to trust me in a relationship. Non-judgmental is extremely important in leaving a strong emotional legacy. It leaves a nurture and a sense of identity in Christ. I realize my identity in Christ. I realize that the love, the acceptance, the belonging, the safety, the security, the understanding, the purpose, It creates that identity in me to realize that I'm a child of God and I have that. It creates a sense of rest and not being driven for the soul. Because when I live in a world system and do things the world, it's a driven system. And it will wear you out really quick. And I have to rest in the fact of who I am as a child of God. And I don't have to be driven to get those needs met. The love, the significance, the understanding, the purpose. I don't need to be driven to do that. I don't need to do things in order to feel those things, because I already feel them as a child of God. That's who I am. That's my identity. And I want to tell you something. He crossed the universe to give you that. He chases you down every day to give you an understanding of that. Every circumstance in your life is designed to give you that. All things work together for good according to those who love, according to those who love him, according to his called to his purpose. Get that out there. I think. But that's who he is. He's more concerned about who you are as his child than what you do. Think about it. Are you doing things for God, or are you doing things with God? Because for God can be really driven. With God can be a lot of rest. It will demonstrate unconditional love. Probably the toughest one up there. Because we've all been trained and conditioned to love conditionally. And we have to unlearn it. We have to unlearn it. I have to learn the ones to love the ones who are not like I am, and not anywhere close to like who I am. Who like things absolutely, I'm thinking, what? How can you like that? But do you understand that we're created differently that way, because in that we see the fullness of God? We see the uniqueness of God. Oh, Jose, that's God in you? Wow. I didn't know God was like that. But he is. Doesn't mean I have to be like that. But I see a fuller picture of the creativity and the awesomeness and the love of our God. So my challenge to you is to take a look inside with the Holy Spirit. Do not go digging around in your emotional life without him. Because you will go somewhere you're not supposed to go. But he, the one who knows all, will take you exactly where you need to go. And begin to show you your heart, maybe some of your wounds, and how to walk out of that. And at times, remember, I may need someone to walk with me. You may need someone to walk with you. Someone who will not judge. Someone who will accept you where you are. Someone will not try and make them like you, but to encourage you in your process of spiritual growth to become the person God created. God created, in fact, the one that God had in his heart and his mind before this earth was ever formed. Somebody who wants to see that person come forth. So, Father, we thank you this morning that you always pursue us. Even when we don't realize you're pursuing us, you are pursuing us. That your heart is always toward us. That your heart is always for us. That your desire, Father, is that we become the person that you have created us to be. And that we can walk in that freedom, Father, knowing that we are safe and secure in your arms, that we're loved by you and understood by you, that we have value in you because of the sacrifice of Jesus, and that we live our purpose out of that. But I thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.